Kim Bowden is our correspondent. She is Crux editor, senior journalist covering Queenstown, Wanaka and Cromwell. Good morning. Thanks very much for being with us, Kim.
Yeah, good morning.
Huge inequities, apparently, in the way Queenstowners can claim accommodation supplements. Now, in the middle of the accommodation squeeze, could you explain what the issue is?
Yeah, sure. So the accommodation supplement, this issue relates to how it's divvied out in Queenstown. So it's a weekly subsidy that people can get, and it helps out with your rent or your mortgage. But whether someone receives it depends on how much they earn and how much their partner earns. And also it depends how much they get depends on where they live. And it's the second part that causes a bit of an issue locally, because a whole lot of Queenstown subdivisions are classified as rural when it comes to receiving this subsidy or your eligibility for receiving it and how much you receive. And they're classed rural because they rely on data from maps that are 30 years old. Now, anyone that knows Queenstown knows in the last three decades, population growth has been huge, and the carving up of farmland to accommodate this growing population has equally been very rapid. So what we have is this inequity where people that live in suburbs that have been well established before sort of the 1990s when these maps were made, they're classed as living in an area that gets a high amount of the accommodation subsidy. You live down the road in another newer neighbourhood that still may be decades old, and you don't qualify for this subsidy, or you get less anyway. So if you live in an area one, which is classed as urban, you are a family, your accommodation supplement might be $305. In a very comparable neighbourhood down the road, same sort of rents, same sort of mortgages, that family would only be receiving $120 a week.
All right, what are people trying to do about this? Are they making a plea to government to the local council or to whom to try and get this a bit more fair in their perspective?
Yeah, well, the groups have been campaigning for about 6 years on this issue, and it's become a fairly sophisticated movement, spearheaded by Andrew Wilson, who's the local minister for the Salvation Army in Queenstown. They've actually presented a petition last year to Parliament. It's gone through that process in Wellington, where it's looked at by the Petitions Committee. The Petitions Committee last year presented a report. Basically, Andrew Wilson was saying, hey, it's not right that this accommodation supplement is linked to really old data. You know, we need up-to-date information influencing how this is divvied up. And now the Petitions Committee, which is made up of MPs, totally agreed and said, yep, you know, Stats New Zealand already updates regularly its geographic boundaries. The Social Securities Act, which looks after the accommodation supplement, needs to be linked to this latest information from Stats New Zealand. And they said, we want to see urgent progress on this. So this is a report that was then presented to government, and the government had a deadline of this week of making a decision on how they would respond to that recommendation in the report. And yeah, unfortunately, Andrew Wilson got a phone call from the minister in charge on Monday night, and it was prefaced with, this will not be the news that you are wanting to hear. And so although the government, you know, they do agree with, you know, what is obvious, that there doesn't, we should be using up-to-date data, if the Social Security Act needs to be future-proofed, they do not agree with the recommendation that this needs to happen urgently. They're seeking further advice from officials. They want to know how this will sit in the current financial environment as well. They want to say, we want to fix this, but we've got to fix it in a way that sorts out the whole country, not just Queenstown, and it needs to be financially sustainable.
All right. Big story, all right, and not just in your district, especially with the way in which the landscapes are literally changing so quickly. Now, there's been a public meeting on healthcare in Wanaka and Upper Clutha. What are the issues?
Yeah, well, similar issues to what we've just talked about. Wanaka is still classed in terms of healthcare provision as rural, so that affects the sort of funding it gets. And a bit like what we've just said in Queenstown, most areas in this rapidly growing township are far from rural. So one of the key issues for people is a lack of access to emergency care, and particularly after hours. So about 2 years ago, the two of the main GP clinics in town, it kind of tagged teams for overnight care, just sort of pulled the plug. And, you know, they had very valid reasons for doing that. Burnout from their GPs, safety concerns for GPs solo in charge overnight. So what that means is when your GP shuts at 6 o'clock, up until 11, you can ring them and there'll be someone there to triage you after 11 p.m. in Wanaka. You're sort of, on your own. You can ring 111 and there is an ambulance. But let's, as was voiced at the community meeting last week, what happens if you ring and unfortunately the ambulance in town is already headed to hospital with another patient? You know, there's a lot of concern in the community about how vulnerable they feel. And, you know, the population base in Wanaka is 17,000 people or thereabouts, its residents. But take this weekend when you've got warbirds over Wanaka in town, that population can swell to 50,000 people. So it's quite disconcerting to feel that if something really went wrong and you needed help, it almost feels like a bit of a Russian roulette about who will be at available to come to your aid.
All right, so where to from here?
Yeah, unfortunately, the great thing about the meeting was it was really well attended, and that's what the organisers, the Wanaka Upper Clutha Community Board, wanted to achieve. It's not their remit to look after public health care provision. They're in the local government lane, but they wanted to bring people together and show that there is strong feeling on these issues in Wanaka. They wanted to let the big players and the decision makers in the sector know that people have concerns and you know, these are their concerns. So the town hall was packed, 400 strong, standing room only. So it sent a clear message. Simon Telfer, the community board chair that facilitated the meeting, he said people also went away better informed. He said it's all very well for us to be keyboard warriors. He said, but there's nothing like sort of coming together and hearing the issues and putting questions to the people that provide these services, hearing some of the challenges at that provision end. Te Whatu Ora, the representatives that were there, said that they had, they admitted they've been caught on the back foot in terms of probably all of inland and Otago, but they were talking about Wanaka that night, in terms of planning. And they said, look, you can't expect a hospital. That's not going to happen. You know, there's not a bricks and mortar response that we can offer here. It's about how do we ensure the workforce is there when it needs to be? How can we be agile in that provision of that workforce? How can we be innovative using things like telehealth and teleconferencing? But, definitely the mood of the room on the night of the meeting was that a bricks and mortar solution is kind of comforting. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just a little under 2 minutes left. What's happened with a six-star hotel running into strife?
This is a sad story. So the Carlin Hotel, which was opened only about 2 years ago, self-proclaimed six-star hotel. You get a Bentley or a Porsche transfer from the airport, and rooms start at upwards of $2,000 a night. Crux was contacted in recent days by four separate workers who were abruptly told that they'd lost their jobs. The tough thing for these workers is they were all sponsored by the hotel to be in the country. So they lose their job. They also put their right to stay in Queenstown and stay in New Zealand in jeopardy. They were given, less than 24 hours notice. One person I spoke to said they got home from a busy day's work to receive a phone call from someone they hadn't met before, who said they represented the hotel and they didn't need to come back in the next day. And also, as of midday the following day, their visa would be revoked.
All right. That's really, really hard for them. And there's no comeback, really, is it? Your visa's attached to your specific employer.
Yeah, so a quick thing here. The hotel went into receivership at the end of February. The owner, the original owner, Kevin Carlin, died very suddenly at the end of last year. And so within 2 months of his death, the hotel has been put into receivership. It is still operating, though. And at the time of being put into receivership, the receivers told us that would be business as usual. So the hotel is still operating. It's taking guests. And we're waiting for a full receiver's report in the coming months.
Kim, thank you so much. Kim Bowden is with Crux. She's editor, senior journalist covering Queenstown, Wanaka and Cromwell.